From Tomahawk to Rhinelander, from Anago to Eagle River, and everywhere in between, it's time for the Sports Q on WJJQ. Now, here is your host, Hunter Baumgart.
Welcome into another edition of the Sports Q. Lots to talk about tonight. Be with you until 7 o'clock, like we do each and every Wednesday. Talk Wisconsin and local sports from 5:30 until 7 each and every Wednesday, and tonight is no different. I am your host, Hunter Baumgart, and looking forward to talking Packers tonight, Badgers basketball, a little bit of Bucks mixed in, previewing the NFL playoffs, all coming your way between now and 7 o'clock. So really looking forward to it. And coming up are a couple of guests tonight. Zach Heilprin will join me. You hear him on our Wisconsin Sports Zone Network updates throughout the day here on WJJQ, and he covers Wisconsin sports, Packers, Badgers, Bucks for the Zone and the Wisconsin Sports Zone Network. So looking forward to talking to him at 6:05 about the Packers and Badgers basketball, little Bucks thrown in as well. And then 6:40, we're going to talk to Melissa Neiman, head coach of the Tomahawk Hatchet Boys swimming team for our local sports flavor tonight. So looking forward to that. Melissa and I will talk about the boys swimming team and how that season has gone for the boys so far. That's at 6:40. So two guests tonight, but otherwise it'll be, we're talking Packers. We're going to preview the NFL playoffs. We'll talk Badgers as the Badgers basketball team plays Ohio State in a big game tomorrow night. Bucks play the Warriors tomorrow night in a big game as well. So we'll discuss all those things, but want to hear from you as well at 715-453-4481. And would love to hear from you, whether it's something we're talking about, something you want to talk about. If you want to, steer the show somewhere else, that's totally fine. I understand that as well. And I will definitely go in that direction as well, because this is your show and love to talk about things that you are interested in. We are going to start with the Packers. Like I mentioned, we'll get to previewing the NFC playoffs and the different games and how they might go. So we're going to do that tonight and also talk Badgers basketball a little later and Bucks as well. Do want to start with the Green Bay Packers, but like I mentioned, 715-453-4481. I'll get to a specific question for you in a moment. Let's just get to the news of the day. Matt LaFleur is saying Za'Darius Smith is going to practice. Then he did practice. So Za'Darius Smith back out on the practice field for the first time since week one of the NFL season. So it's been since early September that Za'Darius Smith has been out. It is huge to get that guy back. Obviously a Pro Bowler, a guy who's just a difference maker in the pass rush, and to have him out there is huge. So that starts the 21-day window. So basically they have to activate him from injured reserve in the next 21 days or he will be out for the season. Now, in 21 days, the NFC Championship game will be over. So it's not like they're risking much by bringing him back to practice, but he wouldn't be practicing if he didn't have a chance to play in the divisional round game next week. So something to watch out for is Za'Darius Smith there. Great news on him coming back. Randall Cobb has been practicing. Jair Alexander, Billy Turner was on the practice field doing individual work today. It's his first practice action since injuring his knee on week 14 as well. So it's been about 4 or 5 weeks for Turner. He was back. And of course, David Bakhtiari and Josh Myers were back on the field against the Lions on Sunday for their first action. Josh Myers since week 6 and David Bakhtiari in over a year after suffering that ACL tear last New Year's Eve. So absolutely huge to have all these guys back. And it's not like you're getting some, second string, third string guys back. You're getting Pro Bowlers, all pro guys. David Bakhtiari, one of the best left tackles in the game, if not the best. Jair Alexander, one of the best young corners in the game. Za'Darius Smith, one of the best pass rushers. You're getting these huge additions going into the postseason. Can't overstate that enough. And on the coaching side for the Green Bay Packers, busy week for Packers offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett. His team is on a playoff bye. Obviously, the Packers on a bye this week, but he is one of the more popular head coaching candidates. He has interviews on Friday with the Jaguars, and then on Saturday, he has interviews with the Broncos and the Bears. So three interviews set up for offensive coordinator for the Packers, Nathaniel Hackett. So we shall see if Nathaniel Hackett is hired in this next cycle. It sounds like he's a hot commodity, and we shall see if he's able to land a head coaching gig. But that would be a loss for the Packers because he has done wonders with that offense, and Aaron Rodgers raves about him. And Matt LaFleur says, I'm not going to hold any of these guys back from opportunities elsewhere to be a head coach. Luke Getsy, quarterback coach for the Packers, also getting an interview with the Broncos. So these guys are, when you win, a lot of times your coordinators get looked at as possible head coaching candidates. And so that's exactly what Nathaniel Hackett is being looked at, and Luke Getsy as well. So we shall see if any of the coaches on the Packers staff are headed elsewhere for head coaching jobs. But that would be for next year. They'll be coaching, obviously, with the Packers for as long as they're in the postseason. And how long will they be in the postseason? That's the question I have for you tonight. How much confidence do you have that the Packers can win the Super Bowl? It's a simple question. How much confidence do you have? 715-453-4481. Would love to hear from you. 715-453-4481. How much confidence do you have the Packers can win the Super Bowl? Because they were 13-4 without their star players like Bakhtiari and Za'Darius Smith and Jair, and getting them all back for the playoffs, I know they won't be 100% necessarily, but that's still an incredible boost. And the question becomes, why is this year different than the last two? Last two teams for the Packers have gotten to the NFC Championship game, and they've lost there. Blown out by the 49ers in 2019, lost a close one to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last year. One of the differences to me this year is the head coach of the Green Bay Packers, Matt LaFleur, having another year of head coaching experience under his belt and being in his third year as opposed to his first or second year. You know, being a head coach in the NFL, you can be a coordinator for a while. You can play in the NFL, what have you. Being a head coach is new territory. I mean, you are the guy. You are making, you know, every decision runs through you. And when that is the case, you have a lot of pressure on you, and you learn. You have to learn in any job. When you start a job, you have to learn, right? Whatever a job it happens to be, working at a store, working in an office, working on the field in sports, working in social media, working in media, working in radio like I do. Whenever you get to a new job, you not only bring the experience that you have to that position, but also it has to mix with getting experience in that job, in the different situations that you'll handle. Because as much as, you know, a degree is fantastic and going to college and getting the classes and then, you know, getting experience and all that, until you are in the job that you're supposed to be performing, not everything comes together until you get experience under your belt. And that's what Matt LaFleur is in. He's only in his third year as an NFL head coach. And yes, he won the most games out of anybody ever in their first three years, I beg your pardon. First 3 years, Matt LaFleur has won more games in the NFL than anybody else in their first 3 years. So he's been exceptional so far. But that doesn't mean he hasn't had growing pains. And they went to that San Francisco, in that NFC title game in 2019 and got ran out of the building, absolutely embarrassed. And LaFleur got embarrassed by one of the guys who he learned so much from, and Kyle Shanahan, who's the coach of the 49ers. And guess what happened this year in 2021? LaFleur and the Packers go back to San Francisco, and they beat the San Francisco 49ers 30-27. That's an improvement over 2 years. But you also remember what, going back to last year's NFC Championship game, 2020, against the Buccaneers, remember what Matt LaFleur said after last year's loss to Tampa Bay in the playoffs? He said he wasn't on his game during that game. And I went back, and I remembered that today, and I thought, man, let's go back to that press conference right after the game, because I think it could tell us a lot about what LaFleur learned about himself in that game and what he needed to do in the offseason, this past offseason, and into this season to improve his team and make sure what happened last year against the Buccaneers and what happened 2 years ago against the 49ers didn't happen again, because it would be awful. You remember the Buccaneers, yes, that final against the Buccaneers last year was 31-26 in the NFC title game in favor of the Buccaneers. The Packers were down 28-10 in that game early in the second half. So that could have been a blowout as well. And you look at the two NFC title games, and that's exactly where the Packers have not performed well under Coach Matt LaFleur. Now, they have not performed well over the last 10 years in NFC title games, but the last two were with Matt LaFleur, and they have not performed well. So listen to this first clip. We're going back to this is the press conference right after the Packers lost to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last year in the NFC title game. I know we don't want to, you know, necessarily listen to the somberness of this press conference, but I think it's an interesting perspective when we say, how much confidence do we have in the Packers this year to go to the Super Bowl and finally make it over the hump of winning an NFC title game? So this is what Matt LaFleur said right after the game last year about not being his best in that NFC Championship game last January.
I felt like we had plenty of opportunities tonight to to take advantage of and get the job done. And we didn't do it, and that falls on me. And, you know, that's a tough pill to swallow when you're responsible for everybody in this organization to make sure that you're on your A game. And I don't feel like I was tonight. And I just, pretty disappointed, that let a lot of people down.
He wasn't on his A game in that NFC Championship game. And that was one of the things that I thought right away about that press conference. I remember listening to it. I remember going on a show the next day. I think it was the next day or the next couple of days in lacrosse, and thinking, yeah, that is a part of the reason they lost that game. As much as the pass rush disrupted the Packers offense, as much as, you know, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers offense didn't take advantage of the three interceptions that the Packers gave them. They took advantage of one. They scored a touchdown on one of the possessions, but otherwise didn't take advantage. And you think about that, but also Matt LaFleur not being on his A game cost the Packers. And you can bet your bottom dollar he's learned from that. And you can see the improvements this year. I feel like he's a better coach this year. I find myself scratching my head about LaFleur's decisions less this year than I did last year. The only major thing I've questioned is not running the ball more inside the 5-yard line, or running the ball with Dylan, you know, late in games, right? That's the only couple of things I've questioned, but they talked about that a couple of weeks back after that Browns game, and it sounds like they have a plan for late game situations. Now let's go out to the phone line here, 715-453-4481. How much confidence do you have in the Packers going to the Super Bowl? Who do we have on the line?
This is Ron Harkness.
Hey Ron, what are your thoughts on the Packers?
Well, I'm hoping the defense looks a little bit better than it did in the last game, but okay. But that's not why I'm calling.
Oh, gotcha. Well, I hope the defense looks a little bit better too. We're in the middle of the sports queue here. Can I can put you on hold as we're on the air here? But I can put you on hold and get to you during the break if you want me to.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Okay, sounds good. So I'll put Ron on hold there. But hey, even if you don't call about the Green Bay Packers, you can always offer your opinion. I appreciate that. So put Ron on hold there. But we'll continue this segment here. And Ron, if you don't want to wait for hold, you can always feel free to call back tomorrow during business hours between 8 and 5 o'clock. So looking at this Green Bay Packers team and looking what LaFleur said after that NFC Championship game last year, one of the things they also did was they struggled in the red zone against Tampa Bay in that NFC Championship game last year. And this is what LaFleur said about struggling in the red zone.
I think a lot of times when we got down there, we did a really good job of running the football and having actions off of it. And then you look at it today, and I think we probably got a little too much drop back. And just, you know, they did a nice job. They came out with a little bit different plan than what we were anticipating, so you got to give them credit. But, you know, I put that on myself, just not calling the right plays. You know, the stuff that we did so well all season long and kind of got away from it. And really that second half, specifically the fourth quarter, just got out of our offense, and that's on me.
And a couple of things about that clip. Remember, we're listening to what LaFleur said after that game last year in that NFC title game, and in that loss to the Buccaneers. It's some clips of after that game. Ran the ball and then got away from it, not calling the right plays, got out of our offense. You know, a lot of things that he didn't do right in that game, according to him. And obviously, you cannot get out of your offense and out of what got you there. Sometimes we've seen, you know, a bit this year, them get out of their offense at times, but not nearly as much to me as we have seen the last 2 years. I feel like we saw that happen against San Francisco in the NFC Championship game 2 years ago. And then, of course, as LaFleur admitted there, against Tampa Bay last year. That is something I'm sure he learned from last year. They got away from what got them there. And I have much more confidence that LaFleur won't go out there and get out of their offense in the playoffs this year like they have in previous years. Stick with what got you there. Also, another clip that they pulled from last year, last one here, LaFleur. You know, remember that third down play late in the game against the Buccaneers last NFC title game where the Packers were down, you know, 31-23 late in the fourth quarter, and it was third down, and they threw an incompletion. Then the next play, they kicked a field goal, which they were down 8. The field goal made not a lot of whole sense. And Rodgers said he would have liked to run a different play there if he knew they were going to kick a field goal and not go for it. LaFleur took responsibility after the game and said the communication needs to be better between him and Rodgers in those situations. Take a listen.
I called a play, and he was asking for another play, and I wish there was a two-way to come back, because I was trying to figure out what exactly he was asking for, and I felt like there was something that, you know, he wanted. I totally trust him. I mean, how could you not? This guy has been magnificent all season long, and you know, it didn't work out. So hindsight's 20/20, and obviously we got to come up with a better way of communicating. If there's something in particular that he wants, then I can call it. But like I said, it just didn't work out, and we got to try to learn from it and move on.
So a couple of things there that LaFleur said during that, you know, interesting a clip here. So, you know, that's, I'm sure, something that they've talked about over the offseason, him and Rodgers, right? And knowing each other's tendencies more now after another full year with Rodgers, and that relationship between LaFleur and Rodgers, and knowing each other's, you know, tendencies can be better in a high pressure situation like that in the playoffs this year. So, and that communication between him and Rodgers has improved. Rodgers has talked about how good their communication is and how much he enjoys playing for him. So I'm sure that if that situation arose again, they would be able to make a better decision, maybe go with what Rodgers wanted in that situation, because LaFleur has full trust in Rodgers. And I have a feeling that relationship is better now than it even was last year, even with the offseason drama that happened. So you got to think that those are some of the things that this team is going to improve on, because Coach Matt LaFleur pointed them out after that game and said, look, this I got to do better. And that's not great to hear your head coach say, because he really, if you think about it, then didn't perform well on the biggest stage and hasn't performed well on the biggest stage the last 2 years. But what gives you confidence for them to be able to do that in the third year? I think the fact that LaFleur has learned from it, just even naturally, even if he hasn't put in a ton of time on it, which I'm sure he has, but even if he hasn't, you know, Rodgers talked about yesterday on the Pat McAfee show, he said LaFleur is one of the hardest working coaches I've seen. So knowing that, I'm sure he went back and looked at these types of things that he did wrong in that NFC title game last year, has improved on them, and now can put that into practice in the playoffs this year, and has put it into practice over the regular season. Like I said, I haven't questioned as many decisions by Matt LaFleur as I did last year, and as I did in the playoffs last year. Okay, I said there was only one more clip. This is one more clip from LaFleur last year after the NFC title game, because I think it's interesting. This is LaFleur talking about the Buccaneers' defensive scheme and what about that scheme gave the Packers fits on offense, because that was the big thing that happened last year in that NFC title game. The Packers offense could not get going for the life of them. The Buccaneers defense was, the pass rush was getting to them. This is what LaFleur said about that Bucs defensive scheme.
Yeah, they do a nice job of disguising and holding stuff to the snap, and it's a good scheme, and they got good players, and you got to give them credit. Certainly, we didn't do enough offensively to counteract that, and we got to take a good, long, hard look at what we're doing offensively for that, because that is a team that I'm sure that down the road, if we're in a situation like this again, that we could potentially have to play.
No doubt about it. They could play him again in the NFC title game this year. They won't play him the first round, but they could play him in the NFC title game. Couple of things that LaFleur said there. Take a long, hard look at their offense, you know, what they did on offense. They'll learn from it. And there's no doubt about it that they, I'm sure, went back and they had the whole offseason to go back and look at that film, what they did on the offensive side, how they could scheme better against the pass rush of the Buccaneers that disrupted them. So I feel more confident this team will have a way to combat the pass rush and play better on offense and score more points against that Buccaneers defense or any defense with a good pass rush that comes to Lambeau. Because you look at it, Cardinals have a good pass rush. Rams have a good pass rush. Buccaneers have a good pass rush. Cowboys have a good pass rush. San Francisco has a good pass rush. Really, everybody except the Eagles has a good pass rush that would come into Lambeau. So they're going to have to combat that. And not having David Bakhtiari in that game against the Buccaneers last year, I'm sure, I am very sure, was not obviously conducive to a Packers offense that was going to hum. So now this year, you have David Bakhtiari back. You have an offensive line that, even with four out of the five guys out for some parts of the season, has performed way above what we expected when four of the five guys were out. And now you get Bakhtiari back. Now you get Myers back, your starting center. Billy Turner might be back. Get three starters back on that offensive line, and all of a sudden you've got four of your five guys back. That's huge. And so I think they're not only because of the getting those guys back, but also what Matt LaFleur learned from that specific game last year, he can then carry into this year and not have another meltdown of the NFC title game. And I think you look at that, and that gives me confidence this year. You look at those clips, what LaFleur said in each one of those clips, and how he said, you know, we're going to learn from it. The communication needs to be better with Rodgers. I need to call better plays. We can't get out of our offense. All those things. I'm sure he took all of that and took the offseason to improve on them. And at least he better have. I'm sure he did. And Aaron Rodgers, you know, talking yesterday, saying he, you know, he works as one of the hardest working coaches I've seen. I'm sure that that's exactly what he did. So that gives me more confidence in the Green Bay Packers to make it to the Super Bowl. What say you? 715-453-4481. 715-453-4481. And Rodgers said yesterday,
we're going on a run.
We're going on a run. Two games to get to the Super Bowl. It's really the most Super Bowl or bust season that I can ever remember. Maybe in the rest of our lifetime, we might not see a more Super Bowl or bust season for the Green Bay Packers. It's the third year under Matt LaFleur. These guys have been working as a unit for 3 years on offense. Rodgers and Devontae have never looked better. Jones and Dylan in the backfield, one of the best 1-2 punches. And some of the struggles we saw in the season early by the offense have turned around, and any shakiness we saw from Rodgers earlier in the season has been thrown out the window. He's thrown 18 touchdowns and no interceptions to finish the year. And, you know, there's been years where I've been like, there are other teams that are better than Green Bay, but this year, I think they're the best team in football. They have the best, you know, they have the best QB at throwing the football. They have the best QB wide receiver duo. Their defense is better than it has been since LaFleur got here. And sure, the defense hasn't performed as well as of late, but they're still better. There's no doubt about it that I think this defense is better than they were last year. And those are the main reasons why I think this team can win it all. And again, I think this is the most Super Bowl or bust season ever. Like, I don't know if we'll ever see more of a Super Bowl or bust season in our lifetime, considering the future of Rodgers and Adams is questionable. This team is set up for a Super Bowl run. They have the one seed. Fans are back at Lambeau. How well this team has played. It is Super Bowl or bust in the greatest of proportions. We'll finish up the hour next on the Sports Game.
Talking Packers, Badgers, Brewers, Bucks, and local sports. You are listening to the Sports Cue with Hunter Baumgart on WJJQ.
Brian at Big Hood Stewart Express of Tomahawk has everything for ice fishing. Select from the popular brands of ice augers. Check out Brian's selection of fish locators. Keep warm with Eskimo ice fishing jackets and bibs with sizes for men and women. There's lacrosse boots and ice armor gloves and mittens. Big Hood Stewart Express also offers live bait and a nice selection of tip-ups. Big Hood Stewart Express, North 4th Street, Tomahawk, your ice fishing headquarters. They are ready when you are ready.
Let Carrier provide quiet and efficient heating all winter with innovative solutions for premium comfort and available at Hilge's LP Gas. And for a healthier home, add the Infinity Air Purifier with an advanced filter that can capture and kill select viruses and bacteria. And you can learn all the science and its impact on coronavirus at carrier.com/purifier. Hilge's LP Gas, proudly serving our Northwoods area since 1958. Hilge's, for your healthy heating comfort, call 453-3505 or visit hilge's.com. Carrier, turn to the experts.
Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill invites you to dine in or carry out all your favorite menu selections, including soup, salad, sandwiches, wraps, and Chicago-style pizza. Billy Bob's also has their daily specials on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, plus the Friday Fish Fry. Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill, featuring happy hour Monday through Friday from 2 until 5. Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill, County Highway L, ready to serve you daily at 11 o'clock. Call 453-4984. That's 453-4984, Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill.
Do you have uncoated concrete? When concrete is left unprotected, moisture can combine with organic particles in the concrete's pores, which can lead to the growth of mold, mildew, and bacteria, which also can lead to negative health outcomes. Wisconsin Coating Specialist offers coatings that seal off pores and prevents moisture from penetrating the surface to provide you with a durable, clean, and beautiful surface for the whole family to enjoy. Call Wisconsin Coating Specialist for your free estimate, 715-298-9533. Wisconsin Coating Specialist, tough and beautiful.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Hunter Baumgart, your host, talking Wisconsin and local sports up until 7 o'clock tonight. If you wanted to call in on that segment but couldn't and weren't able to, maybe you were busy, wanted to have your thoughts heard about the Green Bay Packers, we'll be back to taking calls at about 6:25, so stay tuned. About 6:20, 6:25, Zach Heilprin is going to join me next from the Wisconsin Sports Zone Network. Covers the Packers, the Badgers, the Bucks. We'll talk about all three teams with Zach coming up here in about 5 minutes after the news, so looking forward to that. Melissa Niemann, Tomahawk Hatchet's boys swimming coach, going to join me at 6:40, so stay tuned for that as well. 6:20, 6:25, we'll get back into a little Packers, and also predict the rest of the NFC playoffs as I see them. We're going to go through each NFC playoff game, Eagles, Buccaneers, 49ers, Cowboys, Rams, Cardinals, and we'll do that coming up at 6:20 or so after Zach Heilprin joins the program. So that is when we'll do that, coming up in about, 20 minutes or so. But Zach Heilprin's next after the news. You're listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ Tomahawk. It's time for news at 6 o'clock.
Inflation pain.
Milk, meat, I definitely feel it in my wallet.
A 60s icon dies. The January 6th committee targets GOP leader Kevin McCarthy.
McCarthy could be a key witness.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. You've probably noticed it at restaurants, grocery stores, or when buying a car. Bridget Casey in Milton, Massachusetts has...
Prices are off the chart.
Inflation rose 7% in December, the biggest jump since 1982. WCBS-TV's Nick Calloway has checked out some store shelves in Ramsey, New Jersey.
Some of the cereals were missing.
The Purdue chicken.
Salsa I couldn't get.
But at this ShopRite in Ramsey, we noticed certain baby items and crackers were long sold out. Signs point to the broken supply chain causing milk shortages, and weather in the southeast is to blame for out-of-stock chicken. The National Grocers Association says there's plenty of food in the supply chain, but anticipates that consumers will experience sporadic disruptions due to the supply and labor challenges.
A signature voice of the 60s dies.
Ronnie Spector was known as Veronica Bennett. When the Ronettes were making hits, the records became classics. Rolling Stone contributing editor Anthony DeCurtis.
She had just a phenomenal voice. A voice that was kind of filled with yearning and erotic energy.
But she and her group also influenced the Beatles, the Beach Boys, Billy Joel and Bruce Springsteen. The Stones once opened for them. Her family says Ronnie Spector died after a brief battle with cancer. She was 78. Peter King, CBS News.
The January 6th House Select Committee asks Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy to testify. Loyola Law Professor Lori Levinson.
He would be a key witness because he's about as close to getting to President Trump and what he was saying and doing during the January 6th riot as the committee can get. And that's precisely why I don't expect McCarthy to fully cooperate.
Republicans blast President Biden's speech on voting rights bills.
The Senate's Republican leader called the president's Atlanta speech deliberately divisive.
If you don't pass the laws he wants,
You're Bull Connor.
Mitch McConnell said Mr. Biden's push for the Democrats' voting rights bills contained rhetoric unbecoming of a president.
I think it clearly struck a nerve.
White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki.
What is more irresponsible, unbecoming, and divisive is the coordinated effort by far too many Republicans across the country to perpetuate the big lie and make it more difficult to vote.
Aides say the president will lunch with Senate Democrats to discuss a possible rules change should Republicans filibuster the voting bills. Stephen Portnoy, CBS News, Washington.
Dow closes up 38 points. Now this.
Dell Technologies' New Year event can help you save up to 45% on Windows 11 Pro PCs with powerful hardware-based security. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick and proud aunt. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing. But not every child gets to be carefree. One in six kids in the U.S. are hungry. One in six. That little girl sitting alone at the playground, she can't play like the other kids. She doesn't have the energy because she's hungry. School lunch will be her only meal today. It breaks my heart that this is the reality in our country, but it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste. This food is then provided to families and children in need. Being a kid should be about using your imagination, learning, and having fun. These children shouldn't have to miss out on simply being a kid because they're hungry. To find out how you can help end childhood hunger in your community, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
NATO talks have wrapped up in Brussels with no indication either side is budging over a variety of security issues. CBS's Cammy McCormick.
NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg on the talks that included Ukraine and NATO expansion.
There are significant differences between NATO allies and Russia on these issues.
Deputy Secretary of State Wendy Sherman.
Together, the United States and our NATO allies made clear we will not slam the door shut on NATO's open door policy.
NATO also rejected Russia's proposal that it limits troop deployments in Eastern Europe. But while the two sides are no closer on these issues, Stoltenberg called it positive that they sat down together.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi among those who've paid tribute to the late former Senator Harry Reid, whose body lied in state at the U.S. Capitol today.
Harry Reid made the world a better place.
Reid died last month at the age of 82. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
The forecast for northern Wisconsin tonight, overcast with a good chance of light snow after midnight, just small accumulations, low about 15 degrees, the wind's light. Tomorrow, any light snow ending early, then variably cloudy, high near 26, northwest north wind around 10. Colder tomorrow night and Friday, low of 4 degrees, high of 16, patchy sun on Friday. Saturday, partly cloudy, high 14, Sunday increasing clouds, maybe a couple of snow showers by evening, the high near 22. Have a great night. This is meteorologist Tony Schumacher from the WJJQ Weather Center.
It is 26 degrees in Tomahawk.
From Tomahawk to Rhinelander, from Anago to Eagle River, and everywhere in between, it's time for the Sports Q on WJJQ. Now, here is your host, Hunter Baumgart.
Welcome back to the Sports Q on Northwoods, 92.5 WJJQ. I am your host, Hunter Baumgart. You can feel free to follow me on Twitter for updates regarding the show. Also, sports takes during the week and during Packers games, etc. At Hunter B on Air. Super easy to follow there. At Hunter B on Air. Also on Instagram, at Hunter B on Air as well. Again, updates on the show, updates during sporting events and more. At Hunter B on Air. It is, again, the, we've got coming up in about 35 minutes. We're going to be talking to Melissa Neiman, Tomahawk Hatchet Boys swimming coach. We'll talk to her at 6:40 tonight. Coming up in about 20 minutes, we'll preview each and every NFC playoff game that could impact the Green Bay Packers, which is all of them. We'll get to that in about 20 minutes. And touch on Badgers basketball and Bucks basketball before we get out of here tonight as well. Also, Rodgers talked a little bit about yesterday. What would make him more likely to retire, a Super Bowl win or a devastating loss in the playoffs? And his answer was interesting. So we'll get to that towards the end of the show as well. But right now, let's go out to the WJJQ hotline for our first guest of the night. Joining me tonight here on the Sports Q, excited to welcome to the program Zach Heilprin, who is the sports director at the Zone in Madison and the Wisconsin Sports Zone Network. You hear his updates throughout the day here on WJJQ. Follow him on Twitter at Zach Heilprin. Zach, really appreciate the time tonight. How are you?
I'm great, Hunter. I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. So we're going to get to the Badgers basketball team since you're in Madison. Looking forward to talking about that here in a little while. But want to start with the Packers, obviously, on their bye week. They'll play in the divisional round next week. And it is, you know, quite amazing. The Packers seem to be getting nearly everyone back that could be eligible for a return for the playoffs. Za'Darius Smith practiced today. Billy Turner was back out there. Of course, Bakhtiari and Myers played last week. Let's start with Za'Darius Smith. Are you surprised that he has a decent shot of playing in this divisional round? And how much do you think his impact will be felt since he's coming off such a long-term injury?
Yeah, I think when this injury happened back, you know, week one, I know the Packers were hopeful, but it, you know, you just never know. It's a long-term injury. Backs, as any person my age and older knows, they can be a pain in the butt. You're a little too young for that, Hunter, but they can be a pain. And so for him to come all the way back and be able to have a chance to play in this game, and I saw some clips of him today. He looked pretty good. I mean, again, it's no pads, you know, no actual physical action contact, but I think he could have a huge impact because right now their pass rushers essentially on the outside has just been Preston Smith and Rashawn Gary, and they've had really good seasons, not even just the sack numbers, but the pressure numbers, and they've gotten a lot of pressure from the inside too. But potentially getting those three guys on the field at the same time, I think really just opens up so much more for Joe Barry to work with, whoever they're facing in that game next Saturday or Sunday. The potential for Za'Darius to be on the field in third down situations, it just gives him so many more options. And so I don't know how many snaps he's going to be able to give them. I think he played, 17 in week one. It wasn't a huge number. Maybe he gives them that much, but maybe he gives them a better product on the field than what they got that week one against the Saints.
Exactly, and playing him, like you mentioned, those third down situations or putting him in situationally where he can, you know, have the most impact on the plays that he is out there would be big. Obviously, him being out there no matter what is going to raise the level of the defense. You know, last year, you go back to that NFC Championship game, and the Buccaneers really got to Rodgers with the pass rush without David Bakhtiari playing. And since it looks like he'll play against, you know, whoever comes to Lambeau this postseason, do you think, you know, that's the game changer that puts the Packers a step of, you know, ahead of everyone else in the NFC, including those Buccaneers? Are you still leery that a pass rush could come into Lambeau and disrupt the Packers offense like we saw in that championship game last year?
Yeah, I think I kind of have PTSD from the 2011 game where, you know, they were able to come in, the Giants were able to come in and disrupt an offense with four guys. That's always been the thing with the Packers. It's really all the things with every great quarterback. I saw it with the Giants doing that to Tom Brady, you know, in the Super Bowls that they played. So it's always the danger of having a defensive line, whether it's the Cardinals, whether it's the 49ers, whether it's the Rams, Eagles to a lesser extent. But you're worried about that. But I did think David Bakhtiari, in a very small sample size, looked pretty good for a guy who hadn't played in over a year. And getting Josh Myers back at center allows you to, I think, in my mind, upgrade at right guard, because Lucas Patrick over Royce Newman at right guard, I think, is an upgrade. So, and if you get Billy Turner back, I think Dennis Kelly's played well, but you know, Billy was really playing solidly until he got hurt, that it gives you a chance. And I thought against the Buccaneers last year where you had to play Billy Turner at left tackle, it didn't give him a chance. There was just way too much pressure. And so, yes, getting David Bakhtiari back, getting an all-pro like that back in your lineup for even, you know, just these last three games, Packers are hoping the last three games of the season, it just can't be understated.
No doubt about it.
Overstated.
No doubt about it. Zach Heilprin joining us here on the Sports Q tonight, sports director of the Zone in Madison, Wisconsin Sports Zone Network. And going off that question a little bit, you know, we mentioned the Rams, the Cardinals, Buccaneers, you know, all the teams in the NFC. Who is, do you think, right now the biggest threat to the Packers in that NFC to come into Lambeau and pull an upset?
I still think it's the Buccaneers, just because it's Tom Brady, right? And
yeah.
And you think about last year's NFC Championship game. He didn't play well. I mean, he threw three interceptions. Packers had every chance in the world to take advantage of that, and they couldn't do it because that defense was so good. Now they're hurting to an extent defensively, and they'll get some guys back, I know, but it's always Tom Brady. Until you vanquish that guy, it's gonna be Tom Brady. But I also think, you know, the Rams, the 49ers, the way that they're playing, the way that they can run the ball, and the way they can get after you on defense would probably be the least favorable matchup next week. Mm. But I can also see it very much happening. And I think that would be the biggest concern. Those would be the two teams I think are the biggest concerns. But I also would love to see Dallas here because I think the storylines with Mike McCarthy and, potentially Aaron Rodgers' final game, and the storylines would be great. But in terms of teams that, you know, really I think could give them their best game, it would be Tampa Bay.
And it is wild when you think about it. Now the only option for the Packers to play Dallas would be in that NFC title game. You think about the storylines of not just Rodgers against McCarthy, but in the NFC title game and a chance to go to the Super Bowl. And, of course, you know, McCarthy hasn't been back there. Rodgers hasn't been back there since that Super Bowl they won. That would be quite the storyline. You know, you think back to maybe how you felt going into the playoffs last year, and the Packers had the one seed last year. They have the one seed this year. Do you feel like you're more confident the Packers can make it to the Super Bowl this year than you were last year? Is it about the same? Is it less confident? Where are you with that, do you think?
I'm trying to think, just because, you know, I felt better about their defense to an extent last year the way it was playing. But I also think getting Za'Darius Smith and Jair Alexander back in the field all of a sudden does kind of change things for their defense, which has kind of trended in the wrong direction these last, 6 or 7 weeks, where we thought that they were playing pretty well towards the beginning of the year. But if you get these two guys back, I think it could be certainly a huge lift for them. And offensively, they are not playing at the same level they were for much of last year. But I think in this last stretch where, you know, since Aaron Rodgers came back from COVID, they had the 17 points against Seattle, but then they've scored close to 30 in every other game since. Mm-hmm. And so I think the offense is starting to round into form. I think they have Alan Lazard and Davante Adams, and one is in the last 6 weeks, one has 6 touchdowns, the other one has 5. So they've been able to find that second option. I feel better about their offensive line. Certainly if David Bakhtiari is playing and Billy Turner is playing and Josh Myers is playing, I feel better about where they were there. So I don't know. It's tough to go back and think what I was feeling like heading into that Rams game last year, but the way that they're getting these all pros back on the field is just, instead of losing all pros like they did with Bakhtiari last year, I guess I feel like this is it. And I also think having a full stadium at Lambeau, and we've seen some early temperatures for that game next weekend, that has to be a huge benefit too, because playing in front of 10,000 is much different than playing in front of 80.
That's something that, you know, a lot of people point to. Last year they had the one seed as well, and they had home field, and they couldn't do it. Yeah, but there's a huge difference there of how filled that Lambeau Field was last year, and you just looked around, and it, you know, obviously wasn't even close to the crowds we've seen this year, and we've seen the home field advantage. They're 8-0 this year at Lambeau with that full crowd. Zach Heilprin joining us here on the Sports Q, sports director for the Zone in Madison and the Wisconsin Sports Zone Network. You hear his updates throughout the day here on WJJQ. Do want to switch gears here to the Badgers basketball team, and being that you cover sports there in Madison as well, and I want to ask you about this team. They've been so impressive. How impressed have you been with this team, and how they've fared considering how young this team is?
I'll be honest, I'm shocked
that
they are 13-2. I mean, I think that if anybody's being honest about it, they have to be, because no one saw this coming when you lose what they lost last year, and you only bring back, you know, essentially, the ones you bring back Brad Davison and Tyler Wall, essentially, and along with Johnny Davis, and that's it. But, I mean, being 4-1 in the Big Ten and the way they've done it is as big a surprise, I think, in covering these guys. I've been covering them since 2013, and this is as big of a surprise to this point. And it all starts with Johnny, because he went from a guy that was a fringe, not even thinking about NBA draft, to a potential lottery pick. And he's a potential National Player of the Year. And I've been reading about it, and you go up and down these lists of guys that have made jumps, and in recent memory, I can't remember a guy going from off the radar to top of people's draft boards quicker than what Johnny's done these first 2 months of the season.
Mm-hmm. It's been, 15 games, and then it's switched, you know, on a dime, like you mentioned. And I do want to stick on Johnny Davis, because are we talking about a guy here who's, you know, on pace, if he continues to play this well, to be talked about as, even if he does leave after this year, like it looks like he will, is short term, you know, only obviously 2 years there in Madison, but we talking about a guy who's maybe one of the best Badgers of all time here?
I think talent-wise, yeah. Like career is a little bit different, right? Because if you're there for 4 years, like Lando Tucker was here for 4 years, and Frank Kaminsky was here for 4 years, and like those guys are going to be thought of in a different realm. Maybe Alonzo's thought of in a different realm at this point anyways because of what happened. But, you know, Frank Kaminsky's always going to be thought of differently because of what he did as a team and what he did as a player. And he was National Player of the Year, Final Four, National Championship game, like all that stuff. And he's always going to be thought of in a different vein. But in terms of talent, if Johnny Davis continues to do what he's done to this point in the year, I have to put him up there with Michael Finley, Devin Harris, and Frank and Alonzo, just in terms of their pure talent. And he may be the most talented of them all, which is saying a lot, because Devin Harris was off the charts. He ended up going number five in that 2004 draft. So, like, that's where he's at. I think he has a chance to be the best talent-wise player that's ever been here, ever been at Wisconsin, and that's just incredible to say when you look at where he was at the beginning of this season.
No doubt about it, and Badgers basketball fans, make sure to enjoy him as much as you can this year, because it does look like he'll jump to the professional level coming up next year. And last question here for you, Zach. The Badgers playing Ohio State coming up tomorrow night, another big battle in the Big Ten, this time at home. Badgers did lose to Ohio State, their only Big Ten loss so far. Do you think they have a better chance tomorrow night because it's at the Kohl Center, especially seeing how they beat Purdue on the road and maybe getting more confidence heading into this one against Ohio State?
Yeah, I think they got a little bit of a chip on their shoulder after what happened at Ohio State, for sure. You're right, Ohio State the only team to beat them. Actually, Ohio State the only team to beat them with Johnny Davis on the floor.
Yeah.
Providence, their other loss came with Davis not playing. So I do. This Big Ten is just full of really high-level guys, and E.J. Liddell is one of those guys for Ohio State, and a guy that really tore them up last week, or I'd say in their first matchup. So I think that's going to be one to watch. Can Stephen Crowell and Tyler Wall and the rest of their bigs slow E.J. Liddell if they can? But I think Wisconsin comes out with a win. And I think Johnny Davis probably has another big game because it feels like he gets up and really enjoys playing in these matchups against players that are considered at his level in terms of Big Ten Player of the Year and potential National Player of the Year candidates. And certainly E.J. Liddell and what Ohio State has done to this point is in that category.
And that game coming up 6 o'clock tomorrow night. Okay, last question for you, Zach. I lied. I'll do one more question. I'll ask you about the Bucks. They've lost, obviously four of their last five, last couple of the Hornets. You worried about them at all, or is this kind of going through all this, COVID protocols and just kind of going through this up and down nature of what this COVID, has brought this team the last month?
I think we're really seeing the importance of Drew Holiday.
Yeah.
I think we saw it to an extent last year too, when he went down, was out with COVID, and now you're seeing it again with him being out. To me, that's where this is. And again, the Bucks, they finished with the third best record in the East last year. I don't think anybody really thought that they were playing great, but they have learned that the regular season, and they've had some really good regular seasons, doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
And I think that is especially the case after winning a title, that you're going to have ebbs and flows. And I certainly think this is one of those down moments, but I think it has a lot to do with what they're dealing with in terms of having your best guys on the floor, and especially Drew Holiday.
Bucks play host to the Golden State Warriors, tough test tomorrow night in Milwaukee. Zach, really appreciate the time. We enjoy your updates here on WJJQ, and we'll have to do it again soon.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Hunter.
That is Zach Heilprin joining us here on the WJJQ hotline. You can follow him on Twitter if you like, at Zach Heilprin. Heilprin spelled H-E-I-L-P-R-I-N. And you hear him, like I mentioned, throughout the day here on WJJQ with the sports updates, Wisconsin Sports Zone Network update. You hear him, Wisconsin Sports Zone Network update. I'm Zach Heilprin. There you go. That was Zach Heilprin. There you go. So Zach was a fantastic guest. Really enjoyed his perspective on the Packers and the Badgers as well. Going through the history and what might, what the other players might be like who are up there with Johnny Davis right now. And Johnny Davis is really putting on a show for the Wisconsin Badgers. And they've got Ohio State tomorrow night. That'll be a tip-off of 6 p.m. tomorrow night. It'll be televised on ESPN2. And Badgers are ranked 13th. Ohio State ranked 16th. We'll get more into the specifics of the game coming up in the last 10 minutes of the show. We'll preview Wisconsin, Ohio State, and we'll also preview Bucks Warriors coming up at the end of the show tonight. So stick around for that. But coming up next, the NFC playoffs, the NFL playoffs are in action this weekend. Let's go over the NFC playoffs and kind of see what the storylines are in each game and how these games might play out, because each game could affect how and who the Packers play next weekend. Details on that coming up after this on the Sports Q.
Bringing Wisconsin sports to the Northwoods. This is the Sports Q with Hunter Baumgart on WJJQ.
The sun is setting, the curtain is closing, the end is near, and it's time for the Big Finish sales event. All good things must come to an end, just like Brickner Motors of Little Chicago's remaining new 2021 inventory. Only two new 2021 Pacifica vans left in stock, front and all-wheel drive. New 2021 Ram 1500 Quad and Crew Cabs. Only two left of those as well. Our last new 2021 Jeep Grand Cherokee Laredo X with the Altitude appearance and trailer tow. Now just $43,645 after $1,900 in rebates and more incentives may apply. See sales for details. Looking for the new 7-passenger Grand Cherokee L? We have them in stock. 2022 model Jeeps and Rams are on the way. If you're tired of waiting or have already missed out, let our family help your family order the exact vehicle of your dreams. You're the boss. We just work here. So let us custom order your new Ram, Jeep, Dodge, or Chrysler the way you want it for 2022 delivery. The Big Finish sales event is on now at Brickner Motors on Little Chicago's northeast side.
Tomahawk Pharmacy is your hometown pharmacy, personally taking care of you head to toe and every way they can. Of course, they offer personalized assistance with prescriptions and over-the-counter medications and vitamins and flu shots and COVID vaccines, but they also have Sockwell lifestyle socks, mobility assistance items, and a wide selection of unique kids' toys. Tomahawk Pharmacy, your personal pharmacy with personal service at Tomahawk Pharmacy.
Warm ovens and great smells aren't the only reason people love working at Country Hearth. Job security at a third-generation family-owned company, great pay and benefits, and the opportunity to rise within the company are also in the mix. Besides production, there are a lot of other positions throughout the bakery. Maintenance fixes and maintains machines. Sanitation keeps the machinery and facility clean and safe. Shipping coordinates getting products from point A to point B, and there are delivery driver positions too. Are you ready to find the best fit for you? Find out more and apply today at countryhearthjobs.com.
John J. Schuette Construction is a family-owned company serving the area with trucking, excavating, and Wausau Homes. Their Wausau Homes Design Studio is at 1708 North 4th Street in Tomahawk, and they're ready to help make every home buyer's experience an enjoyable one from start to finish. Call 453-2015 for excavating, trucking, and Wausau Homes from John J. Schuette Construction of Tomahawk.
Welcome back to the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Michael McGovern will be back at 7 o'clock with a news update and back to the music here on WJJQ. But we talk Wisconsin and local sports each and every Wednesday evening from 5:30 until 7. And we are nearly an hour done of the show, but still 35 minutes left. And if you have any thoughts on the Packers, maybe you want to give me your Super Bowl prediction, would love to take it. 715-453-4481, because if you predict the Super Bowl now, then you can, you know, call me back when the Super Bowl is set, and you'll be like, Hunter, I called it back on January 12th on the Sports Q. I told you this team and this team are going to play. If I had to predict the Super Bowl right now, I'd take the Packers out of the NFC. I really would. I think this is the year they finally get there. Am I just trying to speak it into existence? Okay, maybe a little bit. But no, I truly think they're the best team in the NFC. They're going to have home field advantage. They need to win two games. Two games. They're 8-0 at Lambeau this season. They're getting their Pro Bowlers back. This team's got to do it. They got to do it. Ugh. They just got to do it. Packers going to come out of the NFC. AFC? I think I go with the Chiefs right now. And that's probably the trendy pick. I know Tennessee's the one seed over there. And if they get Derrick Henry back, which it sounds like they're going to, they've missed like the last half of the season, and they still got the one seed, which is why Mike Vrabel, their coach, might get coach of the year over Matt LaFleur. But I think I got to go with the Chiefs to go to Tennessee and win. Now, Patrick Mahomes never played a playoff road game other than the Super Bowl. Think about that. Patrick Mahomes has always had home field advantage throughout the playoffs. And if they play Tennessee, they'd have to go on the road. So, but Tennessee lost to Houston. Then again, Tampa Bay almost lost to the Jets. So who knows? I mean, there's some of that, obviously. But I don't know. I feel like Tennessee's shaky. But they also only need to win two games. You know, and something I was thinking of as well was, is this the year maybe in the AFC where a wild card team could sneak out of the AFC because you have all the, you know, because you have maybe a little weaker teams at the top. But I think the way Kansas City has played the last half of the season, that the way their defense has turned around, I'd be hard-pressed to say Kansas City isn't going to go all the way. But like I said, and to be honest with you, they wouldn't play Tennessee until the AFC Championship game, and there's a chance Tennessee could lose in that first game. I don't think Tennessee's the, just because they're the one seed, is the juggernaut of the AFC. So, who knows? But if I were to pick right now, Packers-Chiefs would be my pick. And the Packers, you know, they lost 13-7 to the Chiefs earlier in the year, but obviously Jordan Love was the cornerback in that game. So it'd be a lot different. Unless, of course, Rodgers boycotts the Super Bowl. Have you heard this rumor? Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. It was actually reported like on a big radio station in New York last week that Aaron Rodgers has told Jordan Love to be ready because he doesn't like the COVID protocols, so he's going to boycott the Super Bowl. I mean, can we really? I mean, can we really stop this? Rodgers went on Pat McAfee's show yesterday and absolutely obliterated that report. Said that's not even close to true. And obviously, Rodgers isn't going to work his whole year, come back this year, and then not play in the Super Bowl. I mean, what in the world? But anyway. So that was one of those random reports that came out. And it wasn't super random. I mean, Boomer Esiason, who I feel like is trusted in NFL circles, maybe not anymore, but he was, went on The Fan in New York, one of the biggest sports stations, one of the biggest stations in the country, and talked about a text he received, that a credible text that he received, that Rodgers could boycott the Super Bowl. I mean, why are they making this stuff up? I mean, it's one thing to disagree with, you know, his stance on things, and I'm not saying I agree with everything that he stands for necessarily, but he's not going to boycott the Super Bowl. Anyway, that's a whole nother issue. But let's look at these NFC playoff matchups, because there are some good ones. The Packers could either play the Eagles, the 49ers, the Rams, or the Cardinals next weekend. So they'll either play the 4, 5, 6, or 7 seeds. They cannot play the Buccaneers, and they cannot play the Cowboys next weekend, because the Packers will play the lowest seed remaining. So if the Eagles upset the Buccaneers, they'll play the Eagles. And so that's the easiest one to think about. However, if the 49ers upset the Cowboys and the Buccaneers beat the Eagles, they'll play the 49ers. If the Buccaneers and the Cowboys win, they're favorites too. If the Cowboys and the Buccaneers win, then they'll play the winner of Cardinals-Rams from Monday night. And you got to think, if that's the case, I think the Packers are going to play on Sunday. Because they could either play Saturday or Sunday. They could either play January 22nd or 23rd. The NFC doesn't start their playoffs till this coming Sunday. Theirs is Sunday, Monday. So since that's the case, I don't think that they're going to say a short week for one of the NFC teams when you could just have a week. I feel like what they're going to do most likely, maybe do AFC on Saturday, NFC on Sunday, or they do put one of those games on a Saturday. We shall see. But let's take a look at some of these matchups. Philadelphia Eagles at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, noon on Sunday. Philadelphia, the 7 seed. Buccaneers, the 2 seed. Buccaneers favored by about 8.5 in this game. I think that's about right. I'd guess about I might go double digits on this win over for the Bucs, for the Buccaneers over the Eagles. Remember last year, the Buccaneers went to Washington, and they did barely beat Taylor Heinicke and the Washington football team, but that was on the road. So that was their first playoff game on the road to their Super Bowl win for the Buccaneers. But the Buccaneers were the 5 seed last year because the Saints won that division. Then the Buccaneers went to New Orleans and won, went to Green Bay and won, never played a home game till the Super Bowl, and then won the Super Bowl. The Buccaneers beat the Eagles earlier this season, 28-22. The Philadelphia Eagles rested their starters last week, so they basically have close to a bye coming into this playoff game against the Buccaneers, because they didn't have to play their starters last week. The Buccaneers also sat some of their starters late in their win last week over the Carolina Panthers after it got out of hand. One thing to watch for here, Buccaneers at home in this game, they're so good at home. They have recorded a 7-1 home record, and they have a league-high 16.1 point scoring margin at home. So they win by an average of 16 points at home in Tampa. That's impressive. And that drops to 3.2 on the road in 2021. So They average by winning about 16 points at home, and they average by winning about 3 points on the road. And they average about 6 more points at home than they do on the road. They're also allowing about 7 more points on the road than at home. And they're allowing a league low 0.262 points per play at home this season, which that's kind of advanced math, but they're the best in the league, basically, at points per play, allowing points per play at home. And so the fact that the Packers would get this team at home and not have to go to Tampa is huge. If Tampa had the one seed, I'd say the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the favorite. Because as throughout the year, I've said the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the best team in football, are the best team in the NFC, and really the best team in football, because I think the best teams in the NFC are better than the best teams in the AFC. But all along I've said the Buccaneers, they have Tom Brady, they're the best team. And the Packers, that the fact that they were able to get that one seed, I think they have to be the favorites out of the NFC now, because the Buccaneers are so much worse on the road. Not that they're bad on the road, because they're 6-2 on the road. They're not a bad team. But I think it's telling those numbers and how much better the Buccaneers are at home and how much of an advantage it'll be for the Packers to have that game at Lambeau Field if and when they play them in the NFC Championship game. If they play them in the NFC Championship game. This weekend, Eagles-Buccaneers. Eagles focus heavily on their rushing attack, and Tampa Bay features one of the best run defenses in the NFL. They're allowing only 88.4 rushing yards per game at home. That's really good. If I were to predict this game, I'd say Buccaneers 31, Eagles 17. I don't think this is too close. Maybe it's close for a little while, but it gets out of hand late. Buccaneers 31, Eagles 17 in that one. The next game then on Sunday is the 6-seeded 49ers at the 3-seeded Cowboys. That is a 3:30 kickoff and a 3:15 pregame right here on WJJQ. You can hear that game here on the Big Q on Sunday afternoon. Again, 3:15 pregame, 3:30 kickoff. 49ers 10-7, Cowboys 12-5. San Francisco quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo has a dinged up thumb, so they'll rely even more heavily on the run game. And despite a complete 180 turnaround on the defensive side of the ball from last season for Dallas, they're still vulnerable against the run. So Dallas was not good on defense last year. They're a lot better this year, but they're still vulnerable against the run. They finished the regular season allowing an average of 4.5 yards per rush, which was 23rd in the league. So bottom half of the league when it comes to run defense for the Cowboys, and the 49ers are a team that loves to run. Shanahan is a run-heavy offense, has a run-heavy offensive approach. Does Kyle Shanahan, potentially reaching 40 carries in the game in attempt to keep Prescott and company off the field as much as possible. On the other hand, though, Dallas enters the postseason with the NFL's number one ranked offense, both in terms of scoring and yards gained, and the Dallas defense is number one in takeaways. And speaking of takeaways, when the 49ers lose, they turn over the ball. They have at least one turnover in all 7 of their losses this season and at least 2 turnovers in 6 of their 7 losses. So the 49ers, if they don't turn the ball over, they've won. If they don't turn the ball over, they win. That's basically the formula that they've had throughout the season. Now, any game can, be a little different than that. I'm not saying that's necessarily going to happen, but something to watch out for there. Also, Dallas owns a winning record against the 49ers as of late. They've won 6 of their last 7 matchups. The most recent was 2020 last year when the Cowboys won 41-33 over the 49ers. I see Dallas winning a close one here. I think this is close. I think the 49ers are a dangerous wildcard team, and to be honest, I don't want to see them at Lambeau. Partly maybe because we've seen the Packers have some tough losses to the 49ers over the years in the playoffs, but I don't want the 49ers coming to Lambeau. I really, really don't. But I think the 49ers have the best chance at an upset when it comes to, a major upset this weekend. That's what I would say. I do see Dallas winning this in a close one, though. 24-20. I think this is kind of maybe a lower scoring affair. Maybe even a 28-24 game, where Dallas gets the victory here, but I do see them winning this one at home. The other NFC playoff game, the number 5-seeded Cardinals at the number 4-seeded Rams. And this is Monday night, and we'll have it for you, 6:30 pregame, 7:15 kickoff on Monday night. And again, if the Buccaneers and the Cowboys win on Sunday, then the winner of this Cardinals-Rams game would play the Packers. And the Cardinals own a 3-5 home record, but they're 8-1 on the road. This is really, really strange. They're 8-1 on the road, but they own a 3-5 home record. Like, they're way, way worse at home. And that bodes well for Arizona because they're on the road at LA coming up on Monday night. And the Arizona Cardinals average a plus 10.8 scoring margin on the road. So they average, you know, scoring about more 11 more points than their opponent on the road. And that ranks only second in the league, only behind the Buffalo Bills. So Arizona is really good on the road. They're averaging only 22.8 points per game at home this season, but 29.7 on the road. So they score about 7 more points on the road than at home, do the Cardinals. And that's third highest in the NFL on the road. That's where the Cardinals are. If the Cardinals have not had not been as good on the road this year, they would not be in the postseason. That road record is really what has gotten Arizona to the postseason. The Cardinals are allowing 5.6 more points per game in Arizona than elsewhere. So all signs point to Arizona actually, you know, being in a more favorable matchup when it comes to the Cardinals being on the road in this game at the LA Rams. Now, this follows suit. The Cardinals beat the Rams this year in LA, 37-20 earlier this season. Then the Rams came to Arizona and won 30-23. So it goes right along with what we were saying. The Cardinals are much better on the road. This game, of course, in LA, where the Cardinals beat the Rams 37-20 earlier this year. However, the Cardinals and Rams have been the opposite when it comes to how they finished the year. The Cardinals have lost 4 of their last 5 to end the regular season, and they lost the NFC West to the Rams. The Rams have won 4 of their last 5, but lost last week to San Francisco at home. I think this is going to be a close one. I think this is going to be a good one. I think it's going to be a close one. I think the Cardinals have a good chance to win this game because it's on the road, which is so strange to say in the playoffs. Usually you give the advantage to the home team. I think this is a close one. I think the Rams win by about 3, maybe a field goal at the end. I think this is so close. 27-24 Rams is what I'll go with. Maybe a 26-23, something like that. Like 3 or 4 point win, maybe a 3 point win for the Rams, maybe even a 2 point win. I think this is going to be close. I think the Rams pull it out, though. So if my predictions hold, then I say all the favorites win, and that would mean the Rams coming to Green Bay next weekend, who the Packers already beat 36-28 at Lambeau this year. And 3 of the 4 possible opponents for the Packers this season, this postseason, they could either play, as I mentioned, the Rams, Cardinals, 49ers, or Eagles. 3 of them are from the NFC West, and the Packers swept the NFC West this year. So they've beaten the Cardinals. They've beaten the Rams. They've beaten the 49ers, 2 of which on the road. They went to Arizona and won. They went to San Francisco and won. Now they get to have those teams come to their place, to their spot. I think it bodes well for the Green Bay Packers. But we shall see. Should be a good weekend of NFL football. Our coverage will start Saturday afternoon when the Raiders visit the Cincinnati Bengals. Bengals are a fun young team to watch and listen to. You can hear the game here on WJJQ, 3 o'clock pregame, 3:30 kickoff on Saturday afternoon right here on WJJQ as the Bengals take on the Raiders. All right, that's our NFL prediction here tonight on WJJQ. All right, coming up next, we are going to talk some local sports. Melissa Niemann, head coach of the Tomahawk Hatchet boys swimming team, joins me next on the Sports Q.
Talking about the sports teams that you care about. Youth, high school, college, and pro. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Tomahawk Ace Hardware features a variety of Ego Power snow throwers. Here's one specially priced as a red hot buy. The Ego Power plus 56 volt single stage snow thrower with a 21 inch cleaning width, now specially priced at $699. Stop by at Tomahawk Ace Hardware for this red hot buy. Ace is right along North 4th Street.
If your bank isn't providing you with the service you deserve, maybe it's time to change banks. Hi, this is Angie from Tomahawk Community Bank, Merrill Community Bank, our local branch location. What makes us different from other financial institutions? You do. We are a mutual community bank, which means as a depositor, we are owned by you and not by stockholders. The earnings we generate have one purpose, to be invested back into the community and the community members we serve. We have products to meet every need, and if the thought of changing your automatic deposits and withdrawals is holding you back, don't let it. Our friendly staff is ready to help you make those changes with ease. We are FDIC insured and an equal housing lender. Give us a call at 453-2144 or 536-7133. Choosing a bank that's right for you has never been easier when you make the switch to Tomahawk Community Bank and Merrill Community Bank.
Leading the Northwoods forward, Tomahawk Community Bank.
Here's a great idea for the whole family, a billiards table. While supplies last at the pool, people, if you purchase a billiards table over $5,000, you can take $1,000 off a sauna or 10% off up to $1,000 on that new hot tub you've been wishing for. Stay fit and save 20% off the base price on swimming spas. Plan now for the spring and save 15% off any in-stock pool, and all in-stock billiards tables are 20% off. Don't miss these January specials from the Pool People. Browse online at poolpeople.com or stop by the location near you in Rhinelander, Schofield, and Stevens Point, Wisconsin's largest distributor and dealer of swimming pools, pool tables, and spas. Don't be caught by old man winter with a furnace that can't handle the job anymore. Instead, call Premier Heating and Cooling at 453-4700. Premier offers the Dave Lennox signature collection of furnaces designed from the inside out to look good and work better than ever. Lennox is proud to be an official Energy Star partner, and they offer Lennox home comfort systems that save you energy and money. Call Premier today and enjoy the confidence in knowing your furnace is ready for our Northwoods winter today and for many years to come. Josh will give you all the information about Dave Lennox's signature collection with a furnace just right for your heating needs. Lennox, innovation never felt so good. Premier Heating and Cooling at the intersection of Muskellunge Lake Road and County A. Call 453-4700 or go online PremierHeatingCooling.com. That's 453-4700.
Welcome back to the Sports Q, talking Wisconsin and local sports here until 7 o'clock on WJJQ, as you do each and every Wednesday evening. If you miss any part of the Sports Q, we always put it in our audio center at WJJQ.com the next day. So go to our website, WJJQ.com. You can find all the past Sports Q programs under the audio center. It'll be up tomorrow morning. All right, time now for our next guest of tonight and time to talk Hatchet Sports. Let's go out to the WJJQ hotline. Joining me next here tonight on the Sports Q is the head coach of the Tomahawk Hatchet Boys Swimming Team. That is Melissa Neiman. Happy to welcome Melissa back to the show. And Melissa, how are you tonight?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me again.
Yeah, no problem at all. And looking forward to getting an update on the boys swimming team and how this season has gone so far. Let's first start with, you know, your last couple of competitions. How have those gone?
Well, the last meet we had was against Rhinelander, who... Mm-hmm. They are the largest team in our conference with, I believe, 14 or 15 swimmers. So that's always a tough meet for us because we know as soon as they get here, we lose because of the amount of swimmers they have. They are going to have more points right away. But our guys swim really, really well. Everybody dropped time at that meet. So we're still dropping time. We're still improving. So they left the meet. Yes, we lost, but they had really great swims.
Is there any way to, you know, the way they scored, is there any way to account for the size of teams, or is it just basically even if you have less kids than the other team, you know, they'll still give the points to the other team even for having more kids?
Yeah, it goes by the winner gets amount of points, like, so a relay, the first place relay will get 10 points, second place will get 8 points, 6 points, and it does not matter about team size, unfortunately, because Rhinelander will win the conference because the majority of the teams in the conference have under 8 swimmers. So
gotcha.
It's kind of a bummer for us smaller schools, but we are all swimming, I think our best swimming, according to the rest of the coaches in the conference. We're all still having a great time.
That's great to hear. And what are a couple of things that you've seen the team improve on throughout this season so far?
Well, Zach Hansey, he was our only first place winner last week versus Rhinelander. He did really well in the breaststroke again. He's still seated second in the conference for the 100 breaststroke, so we really love seeing that. Tage Casey is dropping time in the 100 freestyle. We have Zach Germano drop time in the 100 breast. Sam Zastro dropped 1 second in the breast. Everybody's just improving, and they're having fun. I'm working them really hard tonight at practice. Before the meet tomorrow, we swim against Lakeland, who's another smaller team. So I don't mind swimming them as hard tonight before the meet.
Absolutely, and we'll get to the specifics of the meet against Lakeland tomorrow. Melissa Niemann joining us here on the Sports Q tonight, head coach of the Tomahawk Hatchet boys swimming team. And what's a couple of things as you look towards, you know, the next couple of weeks that you want to see the boys improve on?
Well, tomorrow we have Jack Amos. He is going to attempt to swim the 200 IM for the first time. Mm. He was battling a pretty terrible cold. He's not looking forward to it, but I'm going to keep him in the race. I just told him, hey, I just want you to finish, not get disqualified. So I'm kind of looking forward to seeing how he does on that. We're seeing our new swimmer, Trey. He is excelling at the backstroke. He's improving 2-3 seconds every time he gets in the water. So I'm anxious to see him tomorrow. And we are hosting conference here in Tomahawk on the February 4th.
Mm. Well, that we'll definitely be talking about that as that gets closer. And you mentioned, absolutely. And you mentioned, you know, going to different events. Is something, you know, as a coach, do you move around the boys into different events throughout the season? Or once are they locked in, you know, they kind of do the same events throughout the year?
I try to move around. Like Zach Hansen, he can swim just about any event. So tomorrow he's trying the 500 freestyle for the first time in the season. I have new swimmers who aren't legal. So in order to swim like the butterfly or the breaststroke, you have to be legal in the stroke or you get disqualified. Mm. I have probably 3 or 4 swimmers who are not legal in strokes yet. So they are only swimming freestyle. So I have a couple I can move around into just about anything. And I have 3 or 4 who I have to keep in freestyle until I can perfect their strokes.
Gotcha. That makes a lot of sense. Melissa Niemann joining us here on the Sports Q tonight, head coach of the Tomahawk Hatchet boys swimming team as they have Lakeland tomorrow, which we'll get to in a moment. What's been a favorite moment or two throughout this season as you think back so far over the first month and a half or so of the season? What's a moment that sticks out?
Favorite moment would have to be we have our new swimmer, Trey, who I talked about. He had moved around from school to school. His dad was in the military, and they made Tomahawk their home. Mm. And he had disqualified on his backstroke for the first time that he did it. He flipped over on his stomach at the finish. So the last few times he swam it, he's been dropping time. It's legal now, so seeing him and his spirits, and he's made new friends here in Tomahawk. That's what this is all about. It's not about like winning conference or winning the meets, but seeing these kids come together and build a little family. That's the best part about coaching.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. You know, having experienced myself coaching, that is the best part about it. And
yeah,
have you seen?
Yeah, grow together and you know, cheering each other on at the end of the pool. You know, they're cheering on. I had Sam Zastro, the freshman, swim the 500 here at the last home meet. He was very apprehensive about it, but, you know, his teammates cheered him on, and he got through it. He did really well.
And have you seen, you know, the team come together and get closer as the weeks have gone on, too?
Yes, they are. Like, right now I can hear them out there chanting and hollering and screaming at each other to get their sets done. So they're a great team. I'm glad they're, like, I couldn't ask for a better group of guys. They're, again, I have another group of smart honor roll students, and I'm proud of them.
Absolutely. And last question for you. We spoke about it a couple minutes ago, but you have Lakeland tomorrow. And what do you know about Lakeland, and how are you preparing for that meet?
We swam against Lakeland already. They have a small team. They lost some of their swimmers. You know, they had graduation, so they lost some of their star swimmers. They have a small team like us, and we did defeat them last time. You know, but it was a very close meet, so we're not going to sit back and relax. But yeah, I'm looking forward to Zach Hansen swimming the 500. I know he can beat this school record that we have. I'm hoping he can get close to that. Maybe at conference we can beat it. And then again, Jack Amos swimming that 200 IM for the first time. That'll be entertaining.
Absolutely, and we'll be looking forward to reading the results for you on Friday morning here on WJJQ. Well, Melissa, I really appreciate the time tonight. Always fun to talk to you, and good luck the next couple of weeks. I'm sure we'll talk again here in the next month or so.
All right, thank you so much, and I hope to see everybody come cheer us on at conference on February 4th here in Tomahawk.
Absolutely, everybody for sure do that, and like I mentioned, we'll be sure to discuss that as that date gets closer. Thanks, Melissa.
You're welcome.
That is Melissa Niemann, the head coach of the Tomahawk Hatchet girls, girls swimming team and the boys swimming team, as now we are in the boys swimming season here in Tomahawk, and they compete at Lakeland tomorrow night in the GNC duel, as I mentioned. That begins at 5:30. Hatchet wrestling team also in action tomorrow night. They are 1-0 in GNC duels, and they'll be on the road at Antigo, opening match at 7 tomorrow night. And the Hatchet hockey team has another GNC game at Mosinee, opening faceoff at 7 tomorrow night. Hatchet hockey team, you heard Hatchet hockey here on WJJQ last night. The Tomahawk Hatchet hockey team doing something they haven't done in over a decade. They beat Northland Pines last night 10-4. They've not beaten Northland Pines. They hadn't beaten them since the 2010-2011 season. And a big congratulations to all those involved with the Hatchet hockey program, as they got a big victory over Northland Pines. They're now 5-6 on the season, and they'll go at Mosinee tomorrow night. Then on Friday, the middle school wrestling team competing in the DC Everest Invite, action beginning at 4:15. Also Friday night, the Hatchet girls basketball team at Rhinelander, opening tip at 7:15, and the Hatchet JV2, JV and varsity boys basketball teams are hosting Rhinelander on Friday night. JV2 and JV games at 5:45, varsity game at 7:15. You can join me for the varsity game on Friday night. Looking forward to that as Rhinelander comes to Tomahawk. 6:55, Fairmont Orthodontics pregame show, and 7:15 for the tip-off. So looking forward to that on Friday night. That's our next broadcast of Hatchet Sports here on WJJQ. Then on Saturday, Hatchet wrestling team competing in the Markeson Invitational. The opening round is at 9:30 a.m. So that's a look at local sports here tonight. Coming up next, we'll wrap up the sports queue, take a look at the Badgers game tomorrow night, also Milwaukee Bucks game as well. You're listening to the sports queue on WJJQ.
Where Northern Wisconsin comes for in-depth Wisconsin sports talk. From youth sports to the pros, you are listening to the sports queue with Hunter Baumgart on WJJQ.
Why is it easier than you think to get your new Ford at Bremen Merrill Ford?
Let's start with the obvious. Bremen Merrill Ford will not be beat on price. During Bremen Merrill Ford's January sales event, Bremen Merrill Ford would give you the absolute best price on America's top-selling brand. During Bremen Merrill Ford's January sales event, get 0% financing available on leftover 2020 Ford Fusion, Escape, Edge, Explorer, and Expedition. It's easier than you think during Bremen Merrill Ford's January sales event to find the perfect vehicle. Hurry in for huge savings on all leftover 2020 Ford inventory. And the savings don't stop there. In addition to the savings on all leftover 2020 models in stock, the 2021 models are arriving daily. And Bremen Merrill Ford will give you the absolute best price on all models, including the new 2021 Bronco Sport and the all-newly redesigned 2021 F-150. Bremen Merrill Ford has been recognized as Central Wisconsin's top-performing Ford dealership that exhibits quality business practices and Ford's core principles. See for yourself during Bremen Merrill Ford's January sales event, exit 211 South Merrill, online at BremenMerrillFord.com.
Is it time to streamline your financial future? Do you have enough money set aside to last you for possibly the next 20 to 30 years? Have you prepared for unexpected expenses that may arise after you leave your job? Maybe you haven't asked yourself these specific questions, but I'm sure you have questions and concerns about your financial future. I can help you with these questions and others you may have. Together, we can assess your current financial picture and adjust as necessary to confirm you have a solid plan that gives you confidence to face and enjoy your retirement. This is Randy Plantenberg, an independent wealth advisor and your voice of reason for all matters financial. Call Main Street Investment Group at 453-0722 and please visit our website at mainadvisor.com. Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network, member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
Welcome back to the Sports Queue. Last couple of minutes of the program here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Hunter Baumgart, your host. And you can feel free to follow me on Twitter or Instagram or both. At Hunter B on Air. If you're on social media, feel free to do that. I give you updates on the sports queue, who's going to be on the program. Also, updates on what I'm thinking as far as what happens with the Packers during the week and during games. So feel free to follow me there at Hunter B on Air on Twitter and Instagram, and also the Hunter Baumgart Sports Facebook page as well. Feel free to follow that. Updates on the show there as well. Well, 5 minutes left of the program. Tomorrow night, Ohio State Buckeyes at Wisconsin Badgers. Big basketball game in the Big Ten. Ohio State ranked 16th. Badgers ranked 13th. 6 o'clock, ESPN2. Badgers ranked as I mentioned, 13th. They're 13-2 on the season. Ohio State 10-3. Both teams are 4-1 in the Big Ten. These two teams met on December 11th. Ohio State got the victory 73-55. So the interesting part is Ohio State's the only team to have beaten Wisconsin in the Big Ten so far. Ohio State leads the all-time series with Wisconsin 90-73, but Wisconsin leads 47-31 in games in Madison. So including vacated games, this will be the 170th all-time meeting between the programs. Ohio State seeking its first official regular season home-and-home sweep of Wisconsin since 1992. The Buckeyes did sweep the season series in 99 and 2000, but three of those four wins were vacated by the NCAA. E.J. Liddell is their best player on Ohio State, as Zach Heilprin mentioned, and he had a career-high 34 points against the Wildcats. Last time the Buckeyes were out, they had a great offensive night last Thursday, 95-87 win, or on Sunday, I should say, 95-87 win over Northwestern, and E.J. Liddell led the way. There are five Big Ten teams in the top 25, including the Badgers and the Buckeyes. Badgers, they beat Maryland last Sunday, barely escaped with a win. They had a 21-point lead and completely blew it, but then the Badgers won 70-69. Johnny Davis didn't have his best game, 19 shots, missed 11 of them, finished with 19 points, but Tyler Wall had a big game. The third-year forward scored 12 points in the second half, finished with a career-high 21 on 8 of 12 shooting, 5 rebounds, 2 steals, and the victory improved Wisconsin to 13-2 on the season. Badgers hosting Ohio State, ESPN2, tomorrow night, 6 o'clock. The Milwaukee Bucks in action tomorrow night as well, hosting the Golden State Warriors. That'll be a 6:30 tip-off tomorrow night on TNT. The Bucks are 26-17, Golden State 30-10. Golden State just getting their star shooter Klay Thompson back. And the Bucks have lost 4 of their last 5, but so have Golden State. Well, actually, Golden State's lost 3 of their last 4, so not as bad. But Bucks have lost 4 of their last 5. Each of those 4 defeats, though, decided by 9 or fewer points. So all those decided by single digits. They haven't been blowouts necessarily, but the Bucks not playing their best basketball. You look at the injuries for tomorrow night. Draymond Green and James Wiseman are out tomorrow night for Golden State. Grayson Allen, George Hill, and Drew Holiday are to be determined. Grayson Allen, health and safety. George Hill, health and safety. And Drew Holiday, left ankle soreness. And then, of course, Brooke Lopez is still out with that back injury. The Bucks lost to the Hornets twice, Saturday and Monday. So that was their two times last out. Golden State last time out on last night lost to Memphis 116-108. The Bucks are 4th in the Eastern Conference, Golden State 2nd in the West. Again, 6:30 the tip time in Milwaukee tomorrow night. And that'll be televised on TNT. Well, rapid fire prediction there. Badgers and Ohio State or preview, I should say. Badgers and Ohio State and Warriors and Bucks there. Right here on WJJQ. Thanks to Zach Heilprin and Melissa Neiman for joining me tonight on the Sports Q. Hope you enjoyed the program. Michael McGovern back next. I'll talk to you tonight at midnight. If you missed any part of tonight's program, go to our website, WJJQ.com. Find the Audio Center. We'll post this show tomorrow morning. You can listen to as much or as little of it as you'd like there. Thanks so much for listening, and as always, stay positive.
You've been listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ. Be sure to join Hunter again next Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. for the latest sports news around the state and in our Northwoods community, right here on Northwoods 92.5, WJJQ Tomahawk.